Look at the southwestern Indians. I want to take one example, the Anasazi Indians. They lived in a place, there's a place now called Chaco Canyon. Chaco Canyon, nobody knows what it is. But there was a woman, she's an anthropologist, who also happened to be an astronomer. And she was one day examining some glyphs up on a hill, on a rock, a mesa, that overlooked this site of these Native Americans. They weren't called Native Americans when they were living there. They got that title later. I've never understood why the Aboriginal peoples of America have accepted that idea of being a Native American. And some haven't, but some do, and it always intrigued me that. But they obviously weren't called that then. This woman was up on this rock, and she was looking at this glyph. It was a circle. And it had a spiral that looked oddly enough like what we now know as a galaxy. Galaxies are spirals. You always you see these pictures from the Hubble telescopes of these spirals. And you wonder about order. Why is it a spiral? I mean, why do you see that in a seashell? That same spiral down here on planet Earth. That what is that in nature, the secularist word for the divine? What is it that in nature that likes spirals? In fact, our whole bodies are spirals. It's called a double helix. It's everywhere. So she was looking at this, and suddenly there was a flash of light that went right through this spiral from the rock. And she looked back, and there was a slight sliver in rocks that had been placed there. And she thought, what's today? And she realized it was the equinox. And she realized that she was actually seeing the zenith point. And she said, is this some kind of astronomical glyph? So she began to study it, not no longer as an anthropologist, but now as an astronomer, which is, we have to ask, how do these coincidences happen? You have to wonder. I mean, one of the fascinating things for me in my travels around the world is to ponder the fact that you've got 6 billion people, according to the control paradigm's latest estimate. I don't know. Who knows? Has anybody gone and counted 6 billion people? But anyway, they extrapolate somehow. In that mystical science called statistics, which I actually got an A in, and I can't remember a whole lot. I remembered a bell curve and a few other things about that, but which is part of the plan. You can take those classes, do very well in them, and they don't serve you very well later on down the road. So, 6 billion people, each one of them has a bestseller if they could just write it down in good language. Every single person on this planet that's reached any age of maturity has a best-selling novel of their life if they could just write it down in good language. And the amazing thing about it is those other 5,900,000,000 or 99, whatever, they're all in that novel somehow. They're either supporting actors or small-time parts or extras. And each one of them has that going on. In other words, we have a cosmic event of incredible complexity going on here, which is the fact that each one of you is the center of the universe. Each human being in this room is the center of the universe. And right now, I just happen to be part of your experience. Each one of you, I'm just part of your experience. I'm going to leave and you go back to your lives. And hopefully they're changed for the better a little bit, or we've learned something, or we go out to make some changes. But we have an extraordinary event going on here, and it took place in that moment, in that mesa, where this woman, an astronomer who happened to be an anthropologist studying these people, saw this flash of light. She happened to be up there at the right time in the right place, and she had the right tools to understand what she had just witnessed. So they began to study this Chaco Canyon as an astronomical site. And what they found out was the entire place was aligned, not just to the sunrise and the sunset, to the equinox. The shadows all reached certain corners in this building. And the moonrise, and there was the glyph work to determine moonrise and sunrise, to determine moonset and sunset at different times of the year. And one of the equations would take 18 years to work out. These were ignorant Native Americans. Ignorant Native Americans, savages. Savages. So they asked these anthropologists to say, what was this place? What did it mean? They're saying, well, we don't really know. We don't know what it was, but they definitely knew something amazing. They had very high astronomical and geometrical sciences to work all of this out. They asked a Native American from the Hopi Indians, no degree, no diploma, had, in fact, they just said Native American. That was his qualifications to be interviewed. And he was a simple-looking guy there. They asked him, what do you think this place was? He said, you know what this place was? He said, these people were people that looked into the heavens, and they saw order. And they wanted to bring a portion of that order down to earth. That's what they saw. They looked up into the heavens and saw order. We used to say in this culture, before it was taken over, as in heaven, as above, so below. As above, so below. The idea that we live in an orderly universe, an ethical universe. One of my favorite statements ever by a theologian in the history of theology is Kierkegaard's statement, in which he said, if every human being on earth was led into heaven, and only one man was condemned to hell, and I was that man, then from the depths of the abyss of hell, I would declare the eternal justice of God. That's what these people were looking at. They were looking at a just universe, a universe of purpose. Not an eloquent dance to nowhere as a leading anthropologist at Harvard University called Life on Earth. An eloquent dance to nowhere. A meaningless, random event of extraordinarily complex coincidences. Billions of them that happen to come together at the right time in the right moment to make this event. Why is there something as opposed to nothing?